This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Senators have approved their version of a bill to drastically restructure the state's tax system one day after delegates killed their version of the measure. The Senate bill makes changes to the sales and personal income taxes. While it shows an initial fix to the state's budget hole in 2018, it could cause deficits in the following years. Ashton Mara reports.
Senate Bill 409 is one of two tax reform bills studied in the state's upper chamber this session and took many different forms. Ultimately, the bill put to a vote Wednesday would increase the state's sales tax from 6 to 7% in October of this year. At the same time, it reinstates a 3.5% tax on groceries. It also gets rid of a number of sales tax exemptions, including cell phones, solid waste disposal, haircuts and manicures, gym memberships, and travel agent services. And it decreases the coal severance tax rate. The bill creates three new personal income tax brackets, lowering the tax rates across all income levels. It stipulates that in any year when the consumer sales tax brings in $50 million over the $1.8 billion mark in revenue, all of the income tax rates will decrease by 0.1%. That's if the state's rainy day fund contains more than 15% of the general revenue budget. Senate Finance Chair Mike Hall says he still has concerns about the bill, particularly because it allows lawmakers to balance the 2018 budget but shows deficits in future years. Hall says, though, this is not the final version of the legislation.
Our rule says that after today, the only bills that we can pass as an originating body would be the budget bill, bills relating to salaries, and special appropriations. So after today, if we don't take action and move a bill to the House that's got the potential for revenue in dealing with our budget, which is what this does, then we would be left, Mr. President, without the potential at all in this session, either House, for a revenue measure.
Hall says his yes vote for the bill is a procedural one, one that gives lawmakers a, quote, vehicle to increase the revenues they need to balance the budget. Many Democratic members of the chamber disagreed, including Senator Corey Palumbo.
I mean, I do acknowledge it is a vehicle to help with the budget, but I would say it's a broken down junk vehicle. I mean, my concern with this bill every step of the way was that we were shifting tax burden from the upper income wealthy to the middle income and lower income people. And that's not the tax reform that I think is right for the people of this state.
Democratic Senator Bob Plymel pointed to the process by which members of both the Select Committee on Tax Reform and the Finance Committee considered the legislation, saying sometimes members were asked to vote on amendments or the bill itself without knowing its true financial impact.
I really don't know what reiteration of this bill it is, but let me just call it Carnage 7, because I think it is about to the seventh reiteration of a bill in the second bill. The first bill was so bad, we wouldn't even take it up. And if we're going to say this is the vehicle for us to be able to get what we should have already been doing in the Senate, then we've gone a long way south.
Senate Majority Leader Ryan Ferns responded.
I will agree that this, throughout this process, this piece of legislation has changed multiple times. I think that's appropriate. I think it should have changed multiple times as we receive feedback. And I just want to remind everybody, what we heard time and time again was that reducing the income tax is the single greatest driver from a tax policy standpoint for economic growth.
The bill was approved on a 22-12 vote, but not along party lines. Democratic Senator Richard Ojeda joined Republicans voting in favor of the bill. Republican Senator Patricia Rucker joined Democrats in voting against it. The bill now heads to the House of Delegates for its consideration. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara at the State House.
The House of Delegates has killed another revenue-increasing bill, one that would have generated an estimated $215 million in 3 years. Liz McCormick has more.
House Bill 2933 has taken several forms as it worked its way through the House of Delegates. In its latest form that was set for a vote Wednesday, the bill would have reinstated a 3% food tax in October of this year and eliminated a number of exemptions to the current sales tax, things like daycare services, cell phones, or personal and professional services. It would have lowered the sales tax from 6 to 5% in July 2018, and it would have put a flat 5.1% rate on the personal income tax. Several delegates swore on the campaign trail they would not support any revenue increases, and some members even tried killing the bill on its first reading in the chamber Saturday. By the time the bill reached second reading Monday, it had over a dozen pending amendments. Consideration of any of those amendments and the bill itself were delayed multiple times before it was ultimately laid over Wednesday night. Wednesday, however, was crossover day, or the final day members can vote on bills originating in their chamber. That procedural move kills the bill and prevents lawmakers from putting it to a vote. A similar tax reform measure, however, passed out of the state Senate Wednesday. That bill increases the sales tax, creates a new structure for the personal income tax, and lowers the severance tax on coal. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick at the State House.
Senators have approved a bill to create a medicinal cannabis program in the state. Senate Bill 386 was approved on a 28-6 vote last night in the chamber. The bill would create a 17-member medical cannabis commission under the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources that would largely be responsible for creating the rules of the program. That commission would send rules back to the legislature during the 2018 session for approval, allowing the program to actually begin in July of 2018. Senate Bill 386 includes a list of illnesses for which a doctor could certify that a patient could use marijuana medicinally. The list includes post-traumatic stress disorder, chronic pain, seizures, and anxiety disorders. Patients with a prescription under the bill would be allowed to grow two plants for their own personal use. Democratic Senator Richard Ojeda is the lead sponsor of the bill.
Now, I know we can sit here all night long and we can talk about it's a gateway drug. Like I said, it's a gateway away from opioids and a gateway to a better life for somebody who may only have 2 months to live. This is the one opportunity that we have to do something, and this is historic. And I'm proud to be here. I'm proud to be in the Senate. I'm proud because I know there's bipartisan support in this bill. And that means a lot. I hope that the people over in the House understand what we were able to do, and they will realize that they too can pass historic legislation that can help people.
The West Virginia Medical Cannabis Act had 12 sponsors in the Senate with support from both Democrats and Republicans. It now goes to the House for consideration. West Virginia is one of the unhealthiest states in the nation. The state is also in the middle of a budget crisis, and critical health services are at risk of funding cuts. Yesterday, WVU hosted two events in which experts talked about the state of health and economics in West Virginia and what needs to be done to improve them. Kara Lofton reports.
The West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources budget has been cut $181 million since 2015. Any more cuts, says Department of Health and Human Resources Secretary Bill Crouch, will result in a reduction of services.
And the reality is that many of these cuts will affect individuals in communities and providers in communities.
Crouch was visiting West Virginia University along with Governor Jim Justice and Transportation Secretary Tom Smith as part of Justice's Save Our State tour to promote the governor's tax reform bill. Crouch talked about some of Justice's budget fixes, such as the proposed tax hikes on sugary drinks and cigarettes that he says could help improve both West Virginia's health and the state budget deficit.
We can actually save an estimated $80 million a year in health care costs over 10 years and have 15,000 fewer cases of obesity and see a significant reduction in diabetics if we reduce our sugary drink intake.
Those tax increases have been met with resistance in both the House and Senate. Critics say such legislation disproportionately burdens the poor, which are more likely to consume sugary drinks and smoke cigarettes. But Justice says the state is out of options.
If we do something that cuts into the bone more, more people leave. If more people leave, revenues go down.
The more revenue goes down, the more the state sinks into poverty. And poverty is the major driver behind a lot of poor health in the state, says sociology professor Lynn Kossman at a Mountaineer Health Initiative panel later that afternoon. The multidisciplinary panel focused on Appalachian poverty and its impact on health outcomes such as obesity, diabetes, life expectancy, and drug addiction.
That relationship between health and wealth is just really strong and really hard to break. And it's very easy to get into it. You can lose a job. You can get divorced. You can have somebody in your family die. You can get addicted to drugs. And any of those things could lead to a loss of a job, a loss of income, and more and more health problems.
Kossman was one of seven speakers from law, media, sociology, economics, and medical backgrounds who spoke. Clay Marsh, head of WVU's Health Sciences Center, gave the closing remarks.
Jim Justice said, we can't cut our way to a better future. We have to invest in ourselves. We have to feel that we deserve a better life, a better infrastructure, a better place to live.
Many West Virginia communities have seen a reduction in their quality of life and a reduction in a hope for a better future, he says. Our job is to combine hope with opportunity for people, and to do that, we need to invest. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedum Foundation, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. The Marshall University softball team is on a 16-game winning streak. Much of that success has come from senior and West Virginia native Morgan Zirkel, who has been selected to play for Team USA this summer. Clark Davis spoke with her at practice recently about her success and what it's like to represent her state on a national stage.
Team USA, preseason Conference USA Player of the Year, top 50 watch list by USA Softball. These are just a few of the accolades that Morgan Zirkel received before the start of the 2017 softball season. As a captain of the Thundering Herd, Zirkel has led Marshall to a 25-4 record overall and a 9-0 record in Conference USA. Zirkel says she never expected this much success.
Not really. When I was younger, obviously that was always like a dream, but when you commit to Marshall University, you don't necessarily think about what could happen after that. You're here, you're going to college, you're playing. You don't necessarily think about all the stuff that could happen even more after these 4 years, but they go by pretty quick.
But for Zirkel, the story runs deeper than success on the field. She's from Milton, just a short drive up I-64 from Huntington and Marshall University. Playing softball at Marshall has been a dream of Zirkel's since she was young. She just never thought that she'd be quite this successful.
Yeah, I think it definitely means a lot more when you're representing your hometown area and giving others a hope that they can play at their home team school and still achieve national recognition.
Zirkel is a team captain for the Herd and has starred in her previous three seasons on the team. Marshall head coach Shonda Stanton says Zirkel is the kind of player every head coach hopes for.
You know, I think she's, you know, the epitome of all that you can accomplish here as a student athlete. You know, she's Miss Marshall. She's on the top 50 watch list, preseason player of the year. You know, so she's getting all these accolades and obviously has the academic accolades as well. But she'll be the first to tell you she doesn't achieve that stuff without everybody else.
Besides batting well above 400, Zirkel has become known for stealing bases. During her junior year, she stole 28 bases, and that's while missing 22 games with an ankle injury. In 2015, during her sophomore year, she led the nation in stolen bases with 47. She had a hit in 47 of the 50 games she played in, and had a 27-game hitting streak at one time. This year, Zirkel has 29 stolen bases with 23 games left in the season. Zirkel says it's about helping her team.
One of my biggest expectations was to finally, like, win a conference championship, and this year I think we definitely have the team to do so. And so far, with our winning streak that we're on, I think the team's really coming together and things are looking good for us, so I think this might be the year.
All of Zirkel's on-field work led her to being selected to the USA Elite Team last summer, a team of college stars selected to play against Team USA to get them ready for international competition. Zirkel's performance on the USA Elite Team led to her selection for Team USA for this coming summer, as USA Softball will compete in the World Cup. Zirkel says she understands that she has to work harder to get the attention on a national scale.
No matter where you are, what you're doing, you have to perform. Like, at the tryouts, you don't perform, you don't make it. And being from here means they're not going to look at you unless you really make a statement. And I think that's something I've had to, like, push myself to do, is make myself get noticed because I'm from a smaller area.
Marshall travels to the University of Southern Mississippi this weekend for a series against the Golden Eagles. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. I'm Beth Voorhees.